Good morning. This is Stuart Bunnell from the Shone FM Newsroom, and this is the latest interview in our 2025 Territorial Election Series, where we'll be speaking with party leaders and Indigenous candidates from each of the three parties. Today, we're speaking with Jeremy Harper, a Selkirk First Nations citizen who is both the MLA and candidate for Mayo Tatchin with the Yukon Liberal Party. He served as one of the youngest ever speakers of the House and has been a strong advocate for sport and youth mental health supports during his time in office. He joins me today by phone. Jeremy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your you taking the time to have an interview with me.
Fantastic. We're really thankful to have you. Now, you are the only returning MLA from your party for this election. What made you decide to run for re-election with the Yukon Liberals?
Well, I was elected in as a Liberal the last term in 2021, and I was presented the role as Speaker of the House, which was an honor by all members voting me in to be Speaker of the House, and basically chaired the Legislative Assembly in keeping all members of the Legislative Assembly honorable and respectful. A lot of that has come from my previous experience when I worked with my self-governing First Nation for 20 years, and I've worked in various capacities, and one of them was chairing meetings for Chief and Council or Board of Directors for the business arm, Selkirk Development Corporation. It was a hard decision to make my decision if I wanted to run again or if I wanted to remain in the community and help elsewhere in the self-governing First Nation. But I went and approached a couple of elders to help me make my decision, and they were very tough visits. But sometimes constructive criticism, you know. Constructive hearing them out from their point of views and understanding where they're coming from helped me to make my decision. And at the end of every discussion with the elders, they said they would support me, and they feel that I should run again and be the voice for the people of the Mayo Tatchin riding, which is Carmax, Mayo, Pelly, Keno, and Stewart, and the three First Nation communities are also all known in the Shone. So that's how I came to my conclusion on making my decision to put my name forward again and run again for the Mayo Tatchin riding to represent the people of Mayo Tatchin.
Well, that's fantastic. It's great to hear that you've already got that support going into an election. I bet that helped with the decision-making a lot. Now, you are an advocate for sport and recreation in the territory, so I imagine that you're pretty excited about the parts of the Yukon Liberal platform in terms of recreation. Some things like breaking down barriers faced by youth in accessing sport, increasing funding for the Yukon Community Recreation Assistance Grant, and even bringing a bid to host the Arctic Winter Games again in 2035. What do these opportunities mean for rural Yukon?
I think the opportunities, you know, bring our kids out of the rural communities to see the big city. We call Whitehorse the big city, even though it's not a big city compared to some of the other province. But it also gives the children an opportunity to compete, to see where their level of competition is at, to make new friends, to see what real competition is outside of the community instead of competing with your friends and relatives all the time or other individuals in the community. But there's always a different threshold of competitiveness and skill and knowledge, and for them to see that and observe it, it will only motivate them more to excel in whatever sport they're pursuing or wanting to pursue. To me, I think it's a big opportunity for our children and youth. You know, it's life-changing. Sports and recreation has saved my life, and redirected me, and because I when I was a young teenager, I was going down a bad path, and I was only doing what I observed and learned from, you know, relatives and family and friends. And when I really started taking sports seriously, it changed the course of my life, right? And I don't think I would be where I am today if it wasn't for sports giving me the drive to eat better, to get healthy, to get my mind right, and put my mind in a competitive mode. And I feel that this, you know, whatever sport that a child or a youth gets themselves involved with, it's demanding on the body. And when your body is craving nutrients, it forces you to eat healthy, to eat well, and also to observe other people's strategies and tactics. And then you try to steal their tactics and strategies to improve yourself, to take yourself to the next threshold. And, you know, it's life-changing. And that's why I really feel that sports and recreation is a healthy outlet for our children and youth to set them up for success.
Absolutely. And of course, it's not just about eating healthy and making healthier choices and getting fit and all that. There is also a mental health component to it. You know, as you said, getting into sport helped you get on the right path and helped you get your mind right. What does it mean to young people in the territory from a mental health standpoint to have access to supports and to reduce barriers to sports and recreation?
Well, I grew up with the barrier clause as a young man, and it's difficult, right? Because sports is getting expensive, and I think, you know, removing the barriers is opening the door to make it affordable for families. Young families, new families, you know, children and youth to access the programming deliverables that are delivered, whether it be through hockey, soccer, basketball, archery, shooting, you know, the list goes on of all the sporting activities that an individual can get involved with, right? And the equipment that go along with it, the gear, the protective gear. Just the shoes, the clothing, all of that is costly, right? I think, you know, the platform leading and talking about removing those barriers, well, I'm pretty sure that means, you know, making it affordable for families to have their children accessing these programs so that it can help them, set them up for success, and also, you know, keep them active, keep them busy. They're out burning off that energy. They're out exercising, you know. They're out moving muscles that they probably have never moved before. But it also gives them a sense of accomplishment and a sense of value. And also, you feel good at the end of the day. You may feel sore and tired and exhausted, but you want to go do it right the next day. As a child, you just have endless energy. As a youth, you have endless energy. So it's good to burn off a lot of that energy, and it keeps them focused.
Absolutely. As a former young person, I miss having that much energy. But you know what? It's great that is something that is on the dashboard for the Liberal Party as we head into this election. I want to switch tack a little bit here. One of the big ticket items in this election, as you and our listeners know very well, is healthcare. But there are so many different aspects to healthcare that a lot of them can get glossed over or even forgotten when we have the big discussions. One of the aspects that the platform promises that I know that you are passionate about is the promise to expand home care support in rural Yukon. What does that look like, and how is it going to help Yukoners living outside of Whitehorse?
Well, living in a small rural community of Pellycross, you know, I get to see everything firsthand. You know, I get to have these hard discussions with my chief and council, you know, other leaders in the communities that are working in other leadership capacities. But when you live in a rural community, you see everything firsthand, you hear everything firsthand. And, our elders, you know, they're the wisdom of our community. They are the tree trunk of their families, which I call mini chiefs. And for us to have, you know, available services to accommodate them, to help them, whether if they have an issue walking or they have an issue, you know, using their hands, I think our rural communities should have those baseline funding to support our elders, to support our young elders, and to support other individuals in the communities that have issues getting around or have mobility issues. But to have the support and programs just helps our community move forward in a healthier direction. Growing up as a young man in the community, you know, I always didn't pay attention to things because I was so high one with energy. And all I wanted to do was play and fish and hunt. And you know, a lot of the stuff I thought I wasn't listening to, but as I got older, a lot of that teaching from a lot of the respected elders that had left, that used to come in our classrooms, you know, used to come into our community gatherings and speak to our people, has all come back. You know, and as I'm getting older, I'm not old yet, but I'm getting up there in age, right? And all my old injuries are coming back and haunting me, but you just got to constantly maintain the body to, you know, fight off those old injuries. But the wisdom from the elders, you know, plays a vital role on how we continue to move forward as a healthy community. And we as a community need to come and make sure they have the available support so that they can also live a good, healthy life in the community. And one of the other ways is also maybe focusing on putting elders' facilities, senior homes in their communities that are adequate for their mobilities. And design for them so that they could live comfy in their own home. And the reason why I mentioned the elders facility is it's heartbreaking when you see an elder that has to that can't get the proper care in our rural communities that has to go to an old folks home in Whitehorse. And I had firsthand experience with my grandmother who lived in an old folks home for 12 to 14 years. And it's kind of heartbreaking where they have to move and they're away from all their people and family, right, and all their good friends. So I think that should be an action item if I'm reelected as MLA for the Male Attachment Riding, that I need to push hard to make sure that our elders stay home, stay with their people, stay with their family, stay with their friends. And I think that's what, community support is all about.
Fantastic. I'm afraid that we are out of time today. Jeremy Harper, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, I appreciate your time. I'm honored to have this interview with you, and I thank you so much for hearing me out, and you have a great day.